Glory to God. Grace and peace again be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, to Pastor and First Lady Maxim. It's a blessing to be here, to the leadership here at OCM Grace Church. Yes, my second home, my extended family, to all of the saints of God, to Alex and to Patsy and Chu, listening to them just brought back memories to Susan and to so many of you that have come through Grace Church, that has are still involved here at Grace Church and the great things that God is doing. Thank you again so much for your love and your support of the ministry at Bergen Newbridge Medical Center. Thank you again so much. They miss you. They miss you. So if you still want to lend your service to Bergen Newbridge Medical Center, do know that we still need volunteers to come so that we can transport the residents down to chapel service and participate in the worship service and the worship experience. And young people, it's an opportunity for you to be able to teach us older people, you know, how to just the things that are going on in life and in your world, and to be able to, you know, help to bridge that culture and that age gap that sometimes we find ourselves. And thank you. And to our older brothers and sisters, I didn't say old, okay, because I'm in that category. I said older. Amen. Again, thank you. And we ask and invite you to come. And all you need to do is just reach out to me. And then I can let you know, reach out to Pastor Maxim. Actually, he, has been vetted and, is ready and raring, to go. And so it'd be nice if we could have a delegation. And again, the commitment, it could be once a month. It could be every other month, whatever works out for you. We would love to have you. And we're talking about on Sundays in the afternoon, like at around 1:30 or so. So thank you again so much. You know, I want to, and I hope that, and I can see here that your heart is a heart of love and caring, and it's always been that way. That's all I've known of you, Grace Church. And so when the Zoom got stuck, I felt for you, and that's because I go through that every single Sunday, every single Sunday. And sometimes I feel as though that I'm the only one that's saying, come on, hurry up, come on. You know, and I come here and realize that it's not just me and my lack of technical skills. But it's, sometimes it's just so many people getting on the Zoom at one time and so many other different factors, that play a part. So thank you for your patience and your grace, and just thank you really for your spirit, because someone said, you know, we can make up our own music. We know how to sing songs. And that's right. That's right. Absolutely. So thank you so much for your work and your diligence. I know that you want to get into the word, and that's exactly what we're going to do. Betty, you thank you so much. I couldn't have read it any better. So thank you. Thank you so much. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Help us to hide it in our heart that we sin not against you, O Lord. For this is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of the people of God said together, amen, amen, and glory to God. Well, beloved, you know that we are in the season of... Thank you. We're in the season of Lent. We're in the season of Lent. And with this season of Lent that we're in, it is an exciting time. Now, we know that because of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, every day should be an exciting time. Every day is a day of walking with Jesus. Every day is a day of resurrection. Every day is a day of consecration and sanctification. And every day is because we know that the Lord is with us. Amen. Amen. So even in this time of Lent, we know that it is a season of consecration. It is a time for us to kind of refocus. It brings us kind of like back to our roots. It brings us back to our relationship with God. It is 40 days from Ash Wednesday, going into Resurrection Sunday. 40 days if you count, of course, Monday through Saturday, and you don't count the Sundays, because every day, or every Sunday I should say, is a day of resurrection, or is a Sunday of resurrection. And so we have those 40 days, but within those 40 days time period, it gives us a chance to just reevaluate, retune, and relook at our relationship with God. This is not just a secular kind of holiday that we just, you know, say, well, it is what it is, and it doesn't impact us. But yes, it does impact us as Christians, if it's no more to draw us closer to the Lord. And that's what we have come to do each and every day, to draw us closer to the Lord. It is a time that we're set apart. It's a time for us to examine our heart and our relationship with God. For some, it is a time of sacrifice. We talk about the importance of sacrifice. We give up something. In fact, we even have that kind of conversation amongst us as Christians, and even non-Christians may ask the question, what are you giving up for? Y'all know it, right? What are you giving up for Lent? What are you sacrificing? Oftentimes it is a time of steadfast prayer and steadfast fasting, you know, especially, and we have so much to be in prayer about when we look at the things that are going on throughout the world. We're looking at, we're still in COVID season. We're still wearing our masks. We're exercising wisdom heeding to the CDC and to, you know, the various things that will help us, so that we can continue to be a light and to be a lamp to the world, as we serve the Lord and as we help the people of God. So it's a time for us to examine our hearts and our relationship with God. So I figured that as I was laying before the Lord and trying to, you know, see what God would have me to share, I was led to Psalm 32, because I don't know if you noticed this, but in your lectionary, Psalm 32 is the psalm that is listed there. And it just seemed quite apropos that we're in the season of Lent that we would look at that particular psalm. And so what I want to do, and what sometimes I kind of build it into my sermon, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you four life lessons right in the front. And you'll be thinking about maybe those four life lessons as I share the rest of the message with you. But I'm going to give you four points, four life lessons right up front, and keep them, hide them in your heart, and you can refer back to them as it is needed. Are you ready? All right. What's our message for today? Our message for today is what? A psalm during Lent, right? A psalm during Lent. Life lesson number one is this. It is important for us to confess our sins before God. Amen. It's important for us that during the season of Lent, we are to confess our sins before God. As a matter of fact, 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins before God, that's what it says, God is faithful and just. It's important for us to confess our sins before God. Confession is good for the soul. And we know that as we've come before the Lord and lay our heart before God, and even though we know God knows everything about us, we need to hear ourselves and give ourselves over to the Lord. So confess our sins before God. The second life lesson that we have is this, and that is we need to receive the forgiveness of God. Somebody say, receive the forgiveness of God. Amen. Receive the forgiveness of God, because the text, 1 John 1:9 that I'm referring to, says that not only if we confess our sins before God, that God is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us of our sins. Amen and glory to God. Aren't you glad that your sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus the Christ? Amen. I don't know about anybody else. And when I think about it, you know, God has forgiven our sins. He's bore our sins. He's redeemed us. He has atoned for our sins. And as a result, our sins are laid upon him. Amen. And glory to God. Cause I don't know about anybody else, but I can't carry my sins. Can you carry yours? Absolutely not. It's too many for us to carry. Amen. Take your sins and your burdens before the Lord. And can you imagine if we can't even carry our own sins? Can you imagine a loving and a caring God that what carried the sin of the world upon himself and died and gave his life? That's worth rejoicing over in and of itself. Amen. Amen and glory to God. And then the third life lesson is this, and that is to celebrate the grace of God. Celebrate the grace of God. Again, 1 John 1:9 says, we confess our sins before God. God is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us of our sins. All right. But here's the grace of God. And what? And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness is one thing, and we thank God for the forgiveness of our sins. But then to be cleansed and not hold it against us anymore, oh my God, that is just awesome, isn't it? To know that you've been washed in the blood of Jesus the Christ. You know, when we have a difference of opinion or with someone that is a friend or a family member or somebody even in the church, you know, and you know, we mess up, we sin, or we just, you know, just say something that, you know, that perhaps maybe, may not have been the best thing to say in that particular situation. And then we pray and we say to that person, we say, forgive me. I'm sorry what I've done. I'm sorry for what I've done. And then, you know, we might say, yeah, okay, I forgive you. Just don't do it again. But then the next time we see each other, you say, I ain't gonna forget what you did to me, you know. So in other words, you bring it back up again. All right. But when we look at the text here, it says that not only does God forgive us, but he cleanses us as if to say we had not committed the crime. Amen. Or whatever it was. And no, we have done it. But God has atoned for us in Jesus the Christ. And so we celebrate the grace of Almighty God. That grace of God cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And so we celebrate the grace of God. We come together and we think about it. We think about the youth message. We think about the worship singing. We think about the prayers that have been prayed, and we celebrate the grace of Almighty God. We come together. We look forward to coming together. I saw some of you as you were coming in the church and smiles on your face and a mind to worship and a mind to serve, come in and greeted and just loved on, and the excitement and the energy and the spirit of God. You've come to worship. Amen. Amen. And glory to God. And then the last point that I want to share with us is the importance, as we are looking at this Psalm 32 during our season of Lent. Our life lesson number 4 is this. It's important, beloved, for us to live our life pleasing to God. And I know that sometimes it's a challenge for all of us, especially, you know, we all have our good days, our bad days, our good moments, our bad moments, you know, in our walk and in our journey with God. But it's good to know that the God that loves us and cares for us also dwells within us. And because he dwells within us, he enables us and empowers us to be able to make the right choices, the right decisions, and to be able to stop and pray, think and pray before we respond out of emotion, before we respond and not have taken it before the Lord. And all it happens, and sometimes it just happens in a fraction of a second. You know, somebody does something and you can feel it come, and then you can feel the Holy Spirit say, nah, that's not the way we want to go here. And you'd be like, yeah, you're right, Lord. All within a fraction of a second. Isn't it amazing? Oh my goodness. And then we realize, thank you, Jesus, for being and dwelling within my heart and within my soul, which then leads us to Psalm number 32, which is our message for today, as we look at a few things in this particular psalm in the few moments that I do have a psalm during Lent. This particular psalm is considered a psalm of David, a psalm in which David was led by the Spirit of God to write and to pen. And what are psalms? Psalms are but songs. Psalms are but love letters. Have you ever written someone a love letter? Have you ever written to someone something that is on your heart? Have you ever done that? If you have done that, raise your hand. Amen. 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 And if you haven't done that, it could be a friend. It could be a friend, and you just, I haven't seen you, friends, for the past 2 years, because we all been in COVID and been locked up. I ain't seen you. How you doing? You know, and to be able to get that letter from them, and just how good it feels to just to be able to know of how you're doing and how you're feeling and how they're doing and how they're weathering the challenges in life. Well, David has this conversation with God. David is going and thinking about how God has been a part of his life and in his life, the good and the bad, the ups and the downs, the indifference, and just the challenges that just life happens in our lives. He's inspired to begin this particular psalm with what? With the grace of Almighty God. You look at verse 1 and 2. You can actually hear and see the tone and the grace of Almighty God, a psalm that is set in the middle of the Bible to encourage us along the way, even during the time of Lent and consecration, because it begins with, oh, what joy. In other words, it starts off by saying, let us rejoice in the Lord. Oh, what joy. Oh, what joy. Say it again. Oh, what? Oh, what? Oh, what? Oh, what? Oh, what? Oh, what? You're feeling the joy? Amen. Amen. Oh, what joy. What joy. What joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven. And when we think about the fact that there have been times that we have fallen short because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, when we think about the times that we have fallen short, to know that we serve a God who forgives our sins. So what joy. That's why we're able to be here today, because of the joy of the Lord, the Bible says, is our strength. That's why God wakes us up, so we can share that joy with someone else. It doesn't mean that there might be times where we might feel down. It doesn't mean that there may be times that we may not feel as good today as we did yesterday. But when we're reminded of the fact that God gives us joy, one of the fruits of the Spirit, joy that even during the difficult times in our life, God still places joy within our heart. Amen. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy. And there's a difference between joy and happiness. You know that, right? Happiness depends on what is happening. As long as something good is happening, then we are happy. But when there's nothing happening, then we may not be as happy. But joy is what God gives us. It's a way. That's right, brother. It's a way in which God enters not only and illuminates us, but his presence in us lifts us up, that we're able, even through the difficult times, to be able to have the joy of the Lord. Yeah, not feeling too well today, but I got my joy. I lost my job because of COVID, but I got my joy. Things are not working out, but I got my family. I got my joy. And then when all else fell, I got Jesus. I got my joy. I got my joy. My God. The joy because I've been forgiven. It says, whose sin is put out of sight. God puts our sin. Boy, oh boy. Now God sees everything, knows everything. And can you believe that we serve a God that not only forgives, not only atones, but he puts our sin out of sight. Now God sees everything. He doesn't forget nothing. But yet it says here that he puts it out of sight. In other words, he doesn't hold it against us. That's amazing, isn't it? I tell you, I'm happy just by hearing that. I didn't even get to verse number 2 yet, but it says, yes, what joy. There it is again. In case you missed it in verse number 1, and it took a little time for it to sink in, it says, yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has what? Cleansed of guilt, or cleared of guilt. I don't know about anybody else, but there have been times in my life that I've been guilty. If you ever been before just a judge in a court of law, and it could have been a traffic violation, and you know you was going a little bit over the speed limit, and the truth is that even though everybody else around you was going over the speed limit, what about you? Well, yeah, I was too. So what does that mean? I'm guilty. I'm guilty. But to know that even when we're guilty before God, He is faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us, and to wash it away, to clear of the guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. Wow. And the only way we can do that is with Jesus. We can't do it without Jesus. Straight up, that's the way it is. We can't live a life that's pleasing to God without God living inside of us. And so we can see that this particular psalm opens up in verse 1 and 2 with the grace of God. And here we go. Now, verse number 3 deals with the effects of sin. Somebody say the effects of sin. Effects of sin. It goes on to say in verse number 3, when I refuse to confess my sin, there we go, the effects of sin. Now, when we refuse to confess our sin, we know we done lied, or we know we done cheated, we know we done stole, we know that we done hurt someone, we know that we've done wrong. When we refuse to do that and we hold on to the sin, look at what happens and the impact that it has. When I refuse to confess my sin before the Lord, guess what happened? My body began to waste away. Yeah, you start feeling bad. Start feeling guilty. And then after a while, you don't feel like you won't go to church. And then you don't go to church today. And then what happens? You know, you say, well, I didn't go to church today. And then your mind starts messing with you. The world starts messing with you. The devil starts messing with you. And then all of a sudden we'd be like, well, maybe I shouldn't go next week either. Next week ain't even get here yet. But we already thinking maybe I shouldn't go next week, because I feel though as if people are going to say something, and then we don't go. And the next thing, we don't go. And then one Sunday comes to what? Several Sundays in the month comes to several months throughout the course of the year. But beloved, it is good to know that when we have God, even in the midst of sin and our sin, it says, when I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I what groaned all day long. We have a choice. We can groan all day long, or we can confess our sins, released, be liberated, and walk in the forgiveness of God, but also walk with God and not away from God, and walk with God and then continue to live our life according to the word of God. It just makes sense. Instead of me groaning all day long, verse number 4 says, day and night, your hand of discipline has heavy on me. In other words, God reminds us. He doesn't condemn us, but there is conviction in our spirit when we know, hey, I kind of missed the mark on this. Lent is a time for us to examine ourselves and our relationship with God. All of us, it's a time for examination. All of us have fallen short somewhere along the line. Yes, we have. But it's good to know that even in the midst of where we're confronted with sin and the effects of sin, that there's still God's grace that is there. He says here, the discipline of your hand has been on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. And then, I don't know in what translation you're using. I think on there you were using the NLT. It says interlude. But in the King James Version, it says Selah. Okay? And you know what the word Selah means, or interlude? It is a time in which the musician, or a time in which the writer, or a time in which the one that's singing the song or writing the letter takes a pause to think about what they just wrote. So it's time for a pause. We had that reflection in our worship service earlier. It's a time for us to pause, and then it's a time for us to praise. So in other words, when we think about what God has laid on our heart to share before God, what preceded what was just written down. When we think about, somebody put it this way, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, I thank God for saving me. It's a pause, and then it's time to praise. We pause and think about what God has delivered us from, healed us from, and then we praise God. That's what goes on in the interlude. And that's only one of several interludes in this particular psalm. Next section here, it is our confession, or the confession of man or woman in the forgiveness of God. Confession of man or woman and the forgiveness of God. That's verse number 5. This is what it says in verse number 5. Finally, this is what I did. I confess all of my sin, not just those that were, you know, if we put them in a category, you know, just maybe the what we may call little sins, you know, not just the little sins, not just the little things that I didn't do. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we may spend a lot of time on what we do, that may displease God. But you know, there's things that we don't do that displease God as well. In other words, we don't say hello to our neighbor. That displeases God. We don't love our enemy. That displeases God. We don't treat and serve one another respectfully and right and lovingly and care. You know, we don't do that. When we don't do that, I should say. When we don't do that, okay, that's also dishonoring God. Amen. Amen. So we thank God for not only forgiving us and washing the blood with his blood, washing and cleansing us for what we've done, but we thank God for what we have failed to do, which we should have done. Somebody said, you know, make sure when you go to church and make sure you pray for me. And then maybe we were thinking, yeah, you need prayer. And when I get there, you don't want to hear the prayer I'm going to pray, you know, or the prayer I'm going to pray for you because of what you did or what you said or how you treated me and how you still, you know, mistreat me. But God wants us to what? To be examples of his love and his grace and his mercy for us. So when we confess, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He goes on and says, I said to myself, I wouldn't confess my rebellion, what? To the Lord. And you forgave me all of the guilt that is gone. And then guess what? When he thinks about the fact that God has forgiven them of him of the guilt in which he has, there's another expression there. And that says there's a time for an interlude right then and there. When he confesses his sins, then I need to think about it, and then I need to praise God. I need to pause, and I need to praise God. There's an interlude. There's a time for us to say, Lord, I thank you as I confess my sins before you. I thank you for forgiving me of my sin. My God, have mercy on me. And then say, Lord, I thank you. I praise you right now for your forgiveness. He goes on as David writes this particular psalm, and he says in verse number 6, the theme there, or the sub-theme there, is the protection of God. We talk about the joy in 1 and 2, okay, because of the protection of God. Let's see about this protection. He says in verse number 6, therefore, let all godly pray to you while there is still time. In other words, the judgment of God is coming sooner than perhaps maybe we think. And so it's important for us to make sure that we're walking with God and not against God. He says that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. Again, there's the judgment of God is coming. And we might say, well, God is a loving and caring God. And yes, he is. But then when we start speaking about the judgment of God, understand that we know that God must judge sin. He died because of sin. He must judge sin. So when I sin, then I am to be judged. But as a result of Christ and what he atoned for my sin, he stands in my place. My God. And so when I think about that, I say to myself, I need God's protection. 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 He says, therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgments, for you are my hiding place. Oh my God, the Bible says the Lord is a strong tower that the righteous run in, and there we are saved. You protect me from trouble. Amen and glory to God. Amen. Sometimes we can deal and have a day where it seems like trouble is on every side. But you know what? The Bible says that when trouble and sin abounds, grace, God's grace abounds all the more. In other words, that there's more grace than there is trouble in our life. Amen. Amen. For you are a hiding place. You protect me from the trouble. You protect me from trouble. You protect me from trouble. You know, we only know about the trouble that we see. We don't know about the trouble that God withholds from us, you know. And when we look at our situation, our circumstances, it seems like, wow, today, you know, there's a song that that they used to sing, and sometimes, you know, you think about, oh, nobody knows the troubles I've seen. You ever heard that song?
Nobody knows like Jesus. You know, we start thinking about the woe is me and we think about the troubles, but those are the troubles that we've seen. They're not the troubles that we have not seen that God has said, no, you can go this far, but you can't go no further than that. Say thank you. That's cause for praise right there. Hallelujah. For the things that I have not seen that you have, Lord God, protected me from. And then we deal again with the grace of God in verse number 11. The grace and the blessing of God. And this is what they say. He goes on to say here, going back to 7, let me just say this here real quick because I don't want to miss this here, that God is our hiding place. He protects us from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. Amen. And then we have the praise and interlude. Now, verse number 8 says, it lets us know the sub-theme there is the grace and the blessing of God. Now let's listen to some of these. The Lord says, this is the word of the Lord. The Lord says, I will guide you along the what? The best pathway, what? For your life. God says he's going to guide us. God says we have the easiest job, and that is to follow Jesus. We have the easiest job. If all of us were blindfolded, Jesus grabbed each of us by the hand, we would have no problem following him. Am I right? Absolutely. We got the easiest job. Just follow Jesus. How do we follow Jesus? We have the Spirit of God living inside of us. We have the Word of God, the Holy Bible to help us. We have the saints of God to encourage us along the way. We have goodness and mercy to follow us all the days of our life. We have Jesus that is going before us. We got the Holy Spirit within us. Tell somebody, you're covered, baby. You're covered. How do we not want to follow the Lord? Oh my God, I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like the senseless horse or the mule, that needs a bit and a bridle to keep it under control. David put it in this way in the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Wow. My God, my God. And then we look for a moment here, because again, that's a part of the love of God, that God must judge sin. And that is the judgment of God. In verse number 10, we see the judgment of God. He says here, many sorrows come to the wicked. That's why it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf shall not wither, and whatever he do, he shall prosper. Psalm number 1 reminds us about the importance of not walking with the wicked. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Amen and glory to God. How many of us put our trust in the Lord? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Trust in the Lord. The Bible says, with all of our heart, lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, do what? Acknowledge him, and God will direct what? Our, you know, the word of God. Amen. Amen. And again, he protects us. Even in the judgment of God, because we walk with God and not against God. And here we go. We conclude with the good news. The good news is right here. We conclude with the good news right here in verse number 11. And this is what it says. This again, he starts out with the joy of God. He talks about the grace of God, the protection of God, the forgiveness of God, the judgment of God. And guess where he ends up at? Back at the joy of God. Verse number 11, this is what it says. So, rejoice in the Lord. He opens up by saying, rejoice in the Lord. Okay. And carries us and walks with us and leads us through this, even as we're in our season of Lent. And then we wind up in what? The joy of the Lord. Think about it. Isn't the culmination of Lent what? Resurrection Sunday? The joy of the Lord? Well, the joy of the Lord is this. So rejoice in the Lord and what? Be glad. He didn't say rejoice in the Lord and be sure. It says rejoice in the Lord and be glad. All right. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey him. And then it says this. Uh-oh. Watch out now. It says, whisper for joy. Whisper for joy. Whisper for joy. Does it say whisper for joy? What does it say? Say what? Say what? Say what? Say what? It's that shout for joy.
You know, sometimes people say, you know, you shouldn't be shouting in the church. Then what are you going to do when you know, in the presence of God? What are you going to do when you're in heaven and everybody's shouting and praising God and saying, holy, 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 glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Shout what for joy? Shout for joy.
And so rejoice in the Lord. Be glad, all you who obey him. Shout for joy. How you feeling today? I'm feeling great today. If you would have asked me maybe about a week ago, I don't know, I may not have had the strength, may not have the breath, but I feel great today. It's good to see you today. Oh, yes. Thank God. And so I give him praise. I give him glory. I give him honor. Shout for joy, all whose hearts are pure. And our hearts are pure not because of the fact that maybe we didn't do this and we didn't commit this. No, our hearts are pure because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood. That's it. That's it. We are not holy apart from God. It's Christ in us that makes us holy. It's the blood of Christ that cleanses us and makes our heart pure. Apart from God, we're not. The Bible says nothing good really can come out of the flesh because our flesh is now tainted as a result of sin. But because he cleanses us from all sin, he dwells within us. Hallelujah and glory to God. It's not I, but it's Christ who what? Lives in me and you. So beloved, as we continue in this good news, the good news is that Lent reminds us of our need for God and for God's grace toward us. As we look at a psalm, Psalm 32, during Lent. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God, we thank you. Thank you for reminding us of who you are and reminding us of whose we are because of you. We ask, dear God, that if there's someone in our hearing, dear God, that has not opened up to their heart to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, our prayer, my God, is that they would open up their heart and say, Lord Jesus, I know that you are God and I need you as my Savior because I have sinned in thought, word, and in deed, of commission and omission. I have, because all of us have. But we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love and your loving us in spite of ourselves, in spite of our past, in spite of our present, and even in spite of our future, you still love us unconditionally. And for that, we thank you. And so, God, we confess our sin before you, dear God, and we ask for your forgiveness. We repent, we turn from and turn toward you, dear God. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we thank you. And we pray because you atoned for our sin. We pray to you because we know without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. We pray and we receive, Lord God, your atonement. We receive your grace. We receive your mercy. We receive the forgiveness of my sin, of our sins, dear God. And we invite you into our heart to fill us with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we make a commitment to serve you all the days of our life. We make a commitment to return back to church with mask and all. Yeah, we want to come and gather together. We want to worship collectively. We make that commitment, dear God, because of you, who you are. And because of the saints of God whom we love and we miss. And we get encouragement and strength from each other. And so, God, we thank you and we bless you. For this is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and glory to God.